Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
February 19th, 2009, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, five things you should know when shooting in low light. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I've got a quickie for you today, but it's very dense, and I think there's a few goodies in here that I hope you like. I'm going to talk about shooting in low light, and the reason why I'm talking about this today is because I've been doing it a lot lately. I've been writing about it, and I just have this nice little list that's just too good not to share with you. So I want to just kind of do a little refresher here. I know that in various podcasts we talked about this thing or that thing, but I just want to give you a nice five things you should know, keep in the back of your head when you're shooting in low light. Okay, so let's just get right into it. There's no need to have me yammering on about what I'm going to do. I should just do it. First of all, shooting in low light. When I'm talking about shooting without flash, okay? I mean, shooting with flash, that's a whole different thing. Something that we have to do sometimes, but for this show, we don't have a flash. We're not shooting with flash, and I don't even want a flash. I don't even want a flash with me. Well, maybe I want one with me just in case. But I'm talking about shooting without flash in low light. First thing, shoot raw. I mean, this is at the top of the list for a very good reason. When you capture any sort of challenging environment, you want raw because raw allows you, raw gives you the most image data to play with later on. And so when you're trying to recover, you know, blown out highlights because there's a light shining right down on someone's white hair, or you're dealing with shadows that just totally go black, but you know there's some information in there and you want to try to pull it out, all of these sort of things, even playing around in the midtones, shooting raw is, I think, the number one tool you have for shooting in low light, because it allows you to capture all the image data that happens to be available for your lens, camera, and the situation. And if you can't shoot raw, then I really think you better nail it on capture, because trying to take a JPEG and play with a shadow and highlight detail and stuff like that is a very rough way to go. So number one, shooting in low light, shoot raw. Number two, if you can, try to avoid underexposing a shot. And what I mean by that, of course, is where when you look at the histogram and everything is sort of scooched over to the left there. Now, I know if it's a darkened environment, obviously the histogram is going to be, you know, more to the left than to the right, because, you know, that's where, you know, all the image data is. But don't exacerbate the situation by underexposing and having just a lot of murky shadows. You really want to avoid that. So there's a couple of ways that I get around this. And it's not just, you know, setting the exposure on your camera. It's really a lot of how the exposure turns out really happens on how you compose the shot. So if you're shooting something, let's say a scene in a church, existing light, and there are people in it, and then you have these sort of these big areas of darkness all around and so forth, if you were to zoom in a little bit or get closer and recompose, you would actually get a different exposure, and especially if that composition involved, you know, things that had light in them. So, think about this when you're shooting. Try to avoid, in low light, you know, vast areas of shadows and darkness, if you can help it, unless that's the shot you want, you know, unless you're after a mood shot. And be very careful when you're shooting that you don't underexpose those, because you'll get excessive image noise in those areas. So and so take a look at your histogram. Take a look at the shots on the LCD, and think about what you're doing. And of course, you always have the option of moving the exposure compensation slider a little to the right, to compensate for that, to add a little exposure to it. But I really think a lot of getting the proper exposure has to do with composition and what you're metering on, what you're metering on in the scenes. So play with that, be aware of it, try to stay away from murkiness if you can in low light shooting. It makes more work later on in post-production. Number three, I have two words for you. Image stabilization, IS. IS is very, very helpful in low light shooting, because a lot of times, even with your fastest lens, even moving the ISO up a little bit, after you do all the things that you normally do, you still just don't have enough light for handheld photography. And yet it's not practical to use a tripod. And this is where image stabilization comes in very handy. On most of my lenses that have it, I have probably three stops of stabilization. And that is a big difference. That is the difference between being able to shoot the shot handheld or having, to do something else. And God forbid if one of those something else things is to add a flash. Now, there's two types of image stabilization. There's sensor-based, and then there's optical. Now, sensor-based is where the camera itself has the image stabilization. So the Olympus E3, E30 I've been talking about, in the E3, they are sensor-based. So no matter what lens you put on those cameras, you have image stabilization. My Canon, my 5D and my 5D Mark II, that's optical based, so I have to have a lens that has IS in order to have image stabilization. So some of my lenses work great, some of them don't in these situations. And, that's a little bit more expensive way to go. I like it a little bit better, but, in part because you can actually see the stabilization through the optical viewfinder. But both ways are good. And I'll tell you, I've been shooting more and more with the Olympus E30 that has the sensor-based stabilization. And it is really cool because any lens you put on that camera is stabilized. And that's really nice stuff. Regardless, whether you're shooting DSLR or if you're shooting with a compact camera, I think having image stabilization on is important. And I usually keep it in continuous mode so that it's always stabilizing, so that no matter when I take the shot, I can both see the stabilization and I know that it's captured. And I have to tell you, I have not noticed excessive battery drain because of that. Some folks say, well, I don't want to leave it on all the time because it'll drain my battery. I haven't shot with a camera yet that does that, that drains the battery with IS on. So image stabilization, very important. Make sure that it's on. It's not just good enough to have it. You have to turn it on and use it in low light situations. So that was number three. Number four, use your fastest lens. Yes. And preferably, if you're doing optical stabilization, one that's stabilized also. I mean, that's the killer combination. I mean, it's no surprise that my favorite lens for event photography is the 70-200 f2.8 IS telephoto or zoom lens, because it is both relatively fast, it's f2.8 at all apertures, and it has three stops of stabilization. Now, if you have sensor-based stabilization, that really gives you a lot more freedom to just find a fast lens, and it could be even a 50 millimeter, just a regular 50 millimeter, an f1.8 or something, and it's going to be stabilized because you're putting it on a camera that has a stabilization in it. And this is really a great scenario. But a fast lens, it lets more light in. I mean, this is You know, one of the major things about low light shooting, lets more light in. So therefore, it's easier to get a good exposure. But there's a second part that people don't always think about so much, and that a fast lens, a bright lens, right, one with a big maximum aperture, such as f1.4, 1.8, 2, 2.8, you know, in that range, letting more light in makes it easier for the autofocus system to work in a low-light environment. And this is another thing that will just drive you crazy as a photographer, is that in low light, and there's something happening, you want to record it, and you can't lock in your focus. The autofocus system is hunting, it's having a hard time. And if you have a zoom lens on there that has a maximum aperture when it's racked out at f5.6, it's going to have a hard time focusing in a low light situation. So a fast lens is good both in terms of exposure, letting a lot of light in so that you can have a decent exposure, but it's also good in terms of helping you autofocus in low light situations, because that autofocus sensor needs light in order for it to do its job also. So fast lens, there's just no way you can get around how useful it is in low light. And then finally, the fifth thing is, and this is just a little rule of thumb for setting your ISO. So you raise the ISO for handheld photography in low light, and you lower the ISO for tripod photography in low light. And I've talked about this in the ISO show, and in a way it's a little counterintuitive until you get the logic behind it. So in handheld photography, you know, the thing that's going to kill you is camera shake, right? You're moving the camera during exposure, no matter how steady you think you're holding it. The exposure is longer because you're in low light, even after you've done everything else, fast lens, image stabilization, all that. So, you know, sometimes you still can find yourself around, you know, a fourth of a second or an eighth of a second. And you want a little bit more speed so that you can avoid camera shake. And because camera shake makes your photos look soft. They won't look sharp if the camera's moving during the exposure. So that's the situation where you raise the ISO from, you know, whatever you have it set on up to, you know, 400 or so on a compact camera. And you can't go much higher still to this day on a compact camera because of the image noise problem with them. Those small sensors, they get hot and they show noise. But on a digital SLR, you can go up to, you know, 800, 1600, 3200. Sometimes on a modern SLR, one that's like, the D700, the Nikon D700, or the Canon 5D Mark II, you can go up to, 3200, and the shots will still look pretty darn good. Every time you go upward a whole stop from 400 to 800, 800 to 1600, 1600 to 3200, 3200 to 6400, that buys you a whole shutter speed setting. So you go from, 1/4 to 1/8 of a second, 1/8 to, to 1/15th of a second, brain freeze, 1/15th to 1/30th, and 1/30th to 1/60th, and so on up the road. And every time that shutter speed goes up, that you lessen your chance of camera shake. So when handheld photography, raising the ISO. Now, you don't have to worry about camera shake when you have the thing mounted on a tripod. So in low light, when you're shooting, you lower the ISO down to whatever, 100 or so, when it's mounted on a tripod, because you don't really care how long the shutter is, unless you're shooting something that's moving, and then you get a whole different set of problems. And then this helps you keep image noise down and quality, at its best. So when it's on a tripod, you lower the ISO. When you're doing handheld photography, you raise the ISO. Make sure you know the limits of your camera. And then also, some people ask about auto ISO. And of course, the thing there is, know what the range for auto ISO is and make sure it's within a range that you like. If not, set the ISO yourself. And lastly, as I said in that other podcast, when you're done with the shoot, make sure you return the ISO to 100. Don't leave it on 6400 and then go out and shoot landscape, or you're really going to be bummed. So those are my five quickies for low light photography. 1, shoot raw. 2, don't underexpose. 3, use image stabilization. 4, use a fast lens. And 5, raise the ISO for handheld and lower it for tripod. Okay, I want to talk about the photo assignment just briefly. And it's a street shot. And, you know, this is interesting because, you know, normally you think of this as a summer activity. But, you know, getting outside and doing something during the off time of year, I think might introduce some shots that we don't normally see. So I've got my hopes set high that you'll deliver some great imagery for us for the February photo assignment, street shot, which you have until the end of this month to get your shot turned in. And I want to thank our sponsors, SiteGrinder, Photoshop plugin for both Photoshop and Photoshop Elements, that allows you to design a web page in Photoshop and then save it as state-of-the-art CSS and HTML. It's really wonderful. They're a new sponsor, and I welcome them aboard. Red River Paper, fabulous paper at a great price. And Boink Software, the makers of both Photomagico and Boink's TV. And finally, remind you about GrabShots. Make sure if you're sitting on one, you send it on in, and hopefully I'll get it up on the site. And that's going to do it for me this week. It's a little shorter podcast this week. I'll be back with a regular show next week. I'm working on some great stuff, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with you. So until then, have a great week. Go out, take some shots, get out there on the street and see what you can do, and I will see you here next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.